I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
There's a ball up the middle, base hit for Jolts. Tucker's going to score. To third goes Hensley. Corey Jolts has done it again. 3-2 Astros in the ninth, their first lead of the game.
I'm vengeance.
Hell yeah, Astros. Sweep of the Braves over the weekend with rallies late. And each of those games from down just a little bit to take three from obviously one of the front runners to be representing the National League in the World Series this coming season. What is up, people? It is the Paul Gallant Show on this Monday, April 24th of 2023. I am Paul Gallant. You know how to get aboard. 713-780-3776 to call or text on the HRNP listener line. You can join us on our often toxic Twitch chat at twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can get after us on Twitter too, at Gallant Says, at ESPN975, at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. Sean, I have a question for you. Obviously, this isn't something that makes up for losing the World Series to the Braves back in 2021. But does sweeping the Atlanta Braves on the road, winning each of those games in come-from-behind fashion, does that provide a quantum of solace if you are an Astros fan? Because that's the whole point of the quantum of solace, James Bond. Like, Bond's mad that his girl died and he takes it out on the opposition in the next movie, even though he starts hooking up with somebody like 5 minutes into the movie.
Well, because you can't have a James Bond movie where he doesn't hook up with someone, so.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, hey, it's gotten progressively, you know, more woke. James Bond, people are saying it. People are talking about it. But does that give you a modicum of revenge against the Atlanta Braves? I actually think it does.
You're struggling. I guess.
Like, April baseball.
Are they going to hand out replica rings for Kohler Jokes' single to sweep? Are they going to, you know, next year at Minute Maid Park, hand out replica rings for sweeping the Braves in April?
I want NFT of that Jokes single.
Well, you might be able to get that. Very cheap.
NFT prices, very low these days. Look, what's great about this series for the Astros is that they're doing the thing that we all know they can do. And if you're not carrying yourself with supreme confidence throughout every single one of the games that the Astros play, you're just not doing it right. It's just this feeling that you are the main character, that you are the good guy, even though, you know, the cheating thing. But you are the main character here. Everything ends up going in your favor eventually. So on Friday, they were down 4-1 in the seventh inning. They beat them 6-4. Yordan hit a go-ahead two-run homer in the ninth with two outs. He was outrageously clutch in this series. Saturday, they were down 1-0 in the sixth. Then Yordan and Kyle Tucker hit two-run homers. They win 6-3. Yordan's home run was an absolute bomb. Jolks added an insurance run in that game. And then yesterday, they're down 2-0 in the eighth. Yordan Alvarez, again, tied the game with a two-run single. Corey Jolks, the hit that you heard, coming into this segment. It's nice to see this kind of clutch play from them. And the other thing that I think is interesting to note with the Astros, who are finally above 500 after sweeping the Braves, this is a team that you were frustrated with the first couple of series of the year, but now that we have a little bit of a track record for all these teams across baseball, obviously the first two series where you're playing a sub-500 Chicago, you're playing a bad Detroit team, those two series were unacceptable. And for whatever reason, the Astros continuously lose series against Detroit. Did I say series? Whatever. You get what I'm trying to say here. But after that, okay, they lose 2 or 3 to Minnesota. Minnesota in first place at 12-10. They took 2 or 3 from first place Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has the best record in the National League right now after the Astros swept the Braves over the weekend. They're 16-7. Pittsburgh has won 7 in a row.
The most surprising that was the sentence, first place Pittsburgh.
Yes.
What?
In all of the National League.
The Steelers?
Sean. Yes. Not the Pittsburgh Steelers. Why? The Pittsburgh Pirates. Kind of interesting that Pittsburgh's sports teams all have the same colors. I think it's smart.
I think more cities should have done that. Now it's a little too late because now you'd have to like conform to one team, and so the other teams wouldn't want to do that.
Right. It would turn into a battle royale.
Yes. But good job, Pittsburgh.
Good job by Pittsburgh doing that. You can wear like different sports gear with other sports gear. I like it. Black and yellow, black and yellow. Then after that.
Great song.
They lost 2-3 to Texas, but Texas is in first in the American League West at 14-7. They took 2-3 from Toronto. Toronto's 13-9, but they had taken 2-3 from Tampa Bay over the weekend before. And then, of course, they sweep the Braves. The Braves were 14-5 going into the series. That was the best mark in the National League. That tough schedule is not going anywhere anytime soon. They're going to play the Tampa Bay Rays starting today. First pitch is at 5:40. F that. That's so dumb. Can we start at 6? 5:40? And I get it, 6:40 Eastern time. Doesn't make any sense to me. But Tampa Bay, 19-3 on the year. They've been playing a lot of tough teams to open things up, and they've made it work. I know it's 12-10. You wanted more probably. But at this point in the year, you got to be pretty impressed. And something I was thinking about, one of the fun things that you can do as a sports fan when your team is going through a lot of injuries is that you can just make excuses. Right? So with Altuve out, if the Astros weren't playing well, I know a lot of you guys would say, it's still too early. And on top of that, you would say, Jose Altuve is not playing. But when the team's playing well, in spite of those injuries, Michael Brantley, the other injury, you can flex like an insufferable blowhard. And that's what we need to do a better job of. I think that we do a poor job as a city of being the bad guy. I think as a fan, you need to embrace your inner heel and feel preposterously cocky right now. And even better, Mauricio Dubon stepping in for Jose Altuve has an entire season-long hitting streak going. 17 games now. I saw Granato retweet something from, I want to say Friday. Some person was saying, you got to apologize to Mauricio Dubon. No one should have expected this. But what Dubon's doing does make you wonder if you've maybe figured out what you need to do in center field when Jose Altuve comes back. Remember last year, you weren't really 100% sure what to do in the outfield all playoffs long. Yes, Chaz McCormick made some really big, important plays, the catch, a couple of clutch home runs. Jake Myers, he is what he is. But what you've gotten to begin this year with Dubon, but also Corey Jolks, it's been pretty cool. I don't know if it keeps up. I would doubt that it keeps up for the entirety of a year. But the way that Dubon has approached things at the plate, this is a guy who is just smart. And I don't know what the hell happened this offseason, but it's awesome. I know he bulked up 25 pounds, but I didn't think 25 more pounds of weight was going to make him this smart and selective at the plate.
It's also the dominoes with Yordan. Knocking down all those dominoes with your dog.
That's true. I forgot about that. You had to remember that. If Mauricio Dubon hadn't taken up playing dominoes in the clubhouse,
just setting them up and knocking them over. Yep, that's what they're doing.
That's how the game is played. For those who don't know, I found out through a Chandler Rome piece in The Athletic last week that Dubon plays dominoes with Yordan Alvarez, and for the longest time, I thought that the game of dominoes was just, you just line them up in a row and you knock it over, which Sean finds to be hilarious. Listen, I learned eventually that there's an actual game to it. I just don't know how it's played, and I have no intention of ever finding out.
Thank God Chandler Rome joined The Athletic so you could learn that dominoes is played.
Yes! These are the stories that we need to pay a subscription fee for, Sean. You don't get it.
That was worth the $2 a month. It was that knowledge.
It was. And then also you get other tidbits. I like Chandler because Chandler keeps you grounded. So I was thinking about coming into today's show like, well, Yordan has all these clutch hits and he's number one in baseball with all the runs batted in he has. He has 27 right now. And Chandler has in his piece, but he's chasing a lot of pitches outside the strike zone and feels uncomfortable. And I was like, hell yeah, Chandler. This is why I like Chandler. You guys are all haters. I also found out through The Athletic that Jeremy Pena can't hit fastballs. That's not good. Jeremy Pena blew it by him today. Although I'm not supposed to sing that anymore because Red doesn't like that. Sorry, Red.
Garbage time started early today.
Right? Garbage time is all 2 hours, as we found out from Red. Anyway, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. We have some thoughts on the Astros start. You want to share them? We will bring them to the table on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Also, the Houston Texans made a major announcement today. Stick around to find out what it is. We might play Fort Minor in the background for it. Paul Galacho, don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. And we go very, very heavy on the ADD in this show often. We were talking about how Pittsburgh, who the Astros beat, Pittsburgh has the best record in the National League. They've won 7 games in a row. We were talking about how Pittsburgh is black and yellow for all 3 of its local professional teams. The Steelers are black and yellow, the Pirates are black and yellow, and the Penguins of the NHL are black and yellow.
And the Wiz Khalifa song.
That song, is he from Pittsburgh or is he adopted Steelers fan?
I'm pretty sure he's from Pittsburgh.
Because I know Lil Wayne is an adopted Packers fan and supposedly he's a famous Packers fan, but I'm pretty sure he's not from Wisconsin. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he has family up there.
He doesn't strike me as a Wisconsinite. But anyway, I don't know. That could be coded language, perhaps. So I'm just going to shift back into this. I think that every team in Houston should be blue and orange. I like blue and orange. I think it's underrated. I went to Syracuse, obviously, but I grew up a Gator fan, too. I love the Astros blue and orange. Blue and orange is my favorite. I'm wearing blue and orange right now. I'm wearing a Running Game clothing t-shirt. H-Town. I'm wearing, I brought my Syracuse little hoodie in. So, yeah, I think it should be blue and orange. If you were to really twist my arm, I could be talked into Houston blue, which a certain team in town may be working back into the equation fairly soon. This light blue that the Oilers had. And red, that's nice. That's unique. All the teams outside of the Astros have a little bit of red involved because the Cougs do. The Cougs and the Rockets aren't that dissimilar in terms of their overall colors. And then the Texans have this weird, like, battle red that's kind of like...
No, it's a battle red. But nothing weird about it.
It's not very red, though. It's less red than you'd think.
That's the battle part.
Yeah, but you would think the battle would be, like, more red because there's blood, right? It's less red than you would think. Yeah. How do I know this? I don't know. A couple other questions on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. For the 936, did Brantley play Sunday for Sugarland? He did, and he hates the pitch clock. Surprise.
What? You're telling me a guy who's been in the big leagues for 15 years, doesn't like the pitch clock?
He's getting used to it, he said. And it was his first game, to be fair to him. But it's funny how all of these players get so mad about the mental games they're no longer able to play. Todd, the show on twitch.tv/ESPN975. I believe he's blocked by Chandler Rome. Chandler will always double down on his Astros hate. Could win by 10, and Chandler would say something like, despite Dusty's lineup and poor swings against the slider, Astros pull off a narrow victory. He's keeping you grounded. There's nothing wrong with that. Somebody has to do it. What, do you want it just to be all sunshine and roses with the Astros? It's not like that every single day, and that would be boring conversation. We just wake up every single day like it's 1984, and we're praying to the Houston Astros. Yes, the war continues against Oceania, and the Astros have brought a bountiful harvest to the table today with another victory in their supreme war to destroy Oceania. Like, no. Can we stop? Can we stop? It's okay to have criticism from time to time. He does point out things that frustrate us, right? Someone's got to put on the black hat and be honest. I'll just be the fanboy that's a bit of a bandwagoner. It's okay to be that, too. The Houston Texans made a major announcement today, guys. They posted it on their Twitter. 7 letters, 1 mark of punctuation. It says, forward. Then there's a picture underneath it in some sort of old font.
It's Old English.
Yeah.
It's Old English-y.
It's not Old English. It's like, I feel like they're trying to go for like hip-hop Old English. If this font was hip-hop Old English, this is what it would be.
Or it's like American Gothic or something. Like, I'm trying to think of what the Microsoft Word name for it would be.
Yeah, it's something. Anyway, it reads with just all black behind it. And if I'm not mistaken, there's a Texans player in the very background, catching a pass. You can barely see it in the black.
Joel Dreesen.
It's Owens Daniel. It's Kevin Walters, as the play-by-play broadcasters used to do all the time with those two. It's Owen Daniels and Kevin Walter. Here's what it reads. And my God, this is 100% the energy of a middle-aged person on Facebook posting something to really show that they're a hardo. Failure is not an option. It's a necessity. Every misstep is a lesson learned. Every setback, a chance to grow stronger. Embrace the struggle and become unstoppable. Hell yeah. You guys ready for the draft? 100% the reason to remember the name. What?
Of Will Levis.
Well, that's the other news today, guys. This is the actual news. And again, we're so damn close to the draft. Christ. Here's the report coming out of Las Vegas. Will Levis, who famously is good at posting selfies of himself shirtless, eats bananas with the full peel, went viral on TikTok for that, and puts mayo in his coffee, is now projected to be the number 2 overall pick. Per Caesar Sports, Will Levis is the odds-on favorite to be selected 2nd. He is minus 140. Tyree Wilson of Texas Tech is 2nd at plus 275. Will Anderson Jr. is 3rd at plus 400. C.J. Stroud down to 4th at plus 450. Bryce Young is 20-1 because most people think he's going 1st overall. Anthony Richardson is 25-1. So there you go. Will Levis is now projected to be the 2nd pick of the NFL draft. The same Will Levis who had a clip go viral of him this weekend for, from his knees, throwing a football that hit the crossbar of the goal line from the 50-yard line. I mean, it is pretty impressive. If I'm like winding up and throwing it as hard as I can only get it like 39 yards. So
Jamarcus Russell could do that too.
Yeah.
I feel like
no one
should get on their knees and throw a football just because what immediately pops in my head is, oh yeah, Jamarcus Russell did that.
Yeah. 100%.
And it kind of, deflates whatever hype that,
but he still did it.
Yeah, you can't take like, that away from him.
It's like the next guy who hits the ceiling in a pro day. If, like, Anthony Richardson, God forbid, becomes a horrible quarterback and is out of the league in 2 years, and then the next quarterback hits the ceiling on a pro day, everyone's going to be like, well, Anthony Richardson did that. Like, a lot of people can do that.
Sean, you're right in a way in that it's what they should do, but they won't because we never learn. Every single year, it's the same effing thing with these pro days. People have massive pants tents over some stupid thing that happened. Wow, Zach Wilson made one incredible throw. Zach Wilson, I'm not sure Zach Wilson knows how to cross the sidewalks in the street in New York. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, coming from BYU to New York City, does he know how to cross the street? Does he know how to jaywalk? Honestly, I'm not convinced he does. Perhaps that's mean of me to suggest. Seriously, I just didn't think he was ever going to do well in a city. And guess what? He did it. Oh,
hello, I am walking here.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. Hello, I am walking here. Oh, you have drank caffeine this morning? I do not partake. The year before, there was somebody else who did something. Like, every single year, we never learn from these pro day things. But anyway, Will Levis is projected to go second overall. Here's my official take on the quarterbacks. I don't care. I'll take any quarterback. I don't care. If they like the guy enough to pick him second overall, then they like the guy enough to pick him second overall. Should I trust them? No. No one should trust the Texans in their decision-making, but I'm willing to let them pick the guy that they want as opposed to standing on the table acting like I know that one of these quarterbacks is definitively going to be better than all the other ones. We don't know that. No one ever knows it. People have been talking, though, over the last couple of weeks, these fake experts who act as if they know everything, like it's a foregone conclusion that Bryce Young's the best quarterback in this year's draft. I like him the best, but he might not be that guy. I'm not going to dump on the pick of Will Levis if that's what the Texans do. But my real question is, based off of this Vegas info, are the Texans more likely to do one of these two things? Are they more likely to draft Will Levis, or are they more likely to trade the pick back? You can answer that at 713-780-3776. You can also tweet me at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes, at ESPN975, or join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Will Levis is the favorite to go second overall in this NFL draft. And again, don't forget. I do want to say don't remember. You shouldn't remember this, but don't forget, forward. Failure is not an option. It's a necessity. Every misstep is a lesson learned. Every setback, a chance to grow stronger. Embrace the struggle and become unstoppable. Because the Texans today posted that. It is the hard-o male version of live, laugh, love. It is the hard-o male version of those signs that you would collect from Target and put them throughout your family room to show that you have a modicum of culture. Middle-class culture.
I know that we're... should be going to a break right now. But, like, honestly, I feel like we let the Texans off the hook. What does that mean? Why did they post that? That is
if you don't
completely
get it,
meaningless.
You don't get it.
It starts with failure is a necessity. It's like, good job, Texans. You did that. You failed. You failed enough.
Sean, you just don't get it.
Can we start learning from these mistakes?
What mistakes are we talking about here?
The
what
Houston
are you talking
Texas
about?
Franchise.
Sean.
Let me start in 2002.
This is a conscious effort of them to show what they're all about. Effort, hustle, and will. What? Are you embarrassed that they posted this?
No. I'm not embarrassed about the Texans because I don't feel like I have to defend them in any way. I don't feel any kinship to them.
I defend the Texans a lot here, and I will defend them. They're setting a message, okay? Hey, this is a team that's going to swarm in 2023. That's the other thing that they have been pushing to. I'm surprised there's no swarm in this post.
Well, if you look at every letter that's capitalized, the third letter of every sentence. I do think they should have posted this like after they fired Lovie Smith or something. Like they should have Monday at 8 a.m. Like exactly. So it was a scheduled tweet. So someone thought this was an idea, good idea. Way ahead of
who?
This wasn't impulsive.
Okay, so the first question is, what's more likely? Are they going to take Will Levis second overall or trade the second overall pick? The second question is this. Who greenlit this? Because Jack Easterby is gone. 713-780-3776. Who said, let's post this?
Who's on the suspect list of, again, failure is not an option, is a necessity. Every misstep is a lesson learned. Every step setback is a chance to grow stronger, embrace the struggle, and become unstoppable.
Who posted that? Who on the Houston Texans?
Whose words is that?
If D'Amico Ryans was the one who greenlit this, would you be out on D'Amico Ryans? That's up to you. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
Ready for some football, baby.
Stand!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. We're going to start off, though, trying to figure out who greenlit the Houston Texans social media post in this, I want to say, gothic, old English, Americanized font. With the caption forward, period. Failure is not an option. It's a necessity. Every misstep is a lesson learned. Every setback a chance to grow stronger. Embrace the struggle and become unstoppable. This is the live, laugh, love equivalent of all of the signs that if you played high school sports, you would have seen in your weight room. Like, this is every single one of them. So I guess it is the sports version of the Live, Laugh, Love collection, available at a Target near you. I need to know who was the one that greenlit this. There's been a couple of things that the Texans have been pushing this offseason. One of them is the word swarm. You have heard Caserio say it. You have heard D'Amico Ryans say it. The second is, I guess, just this mindset. And look, it's cool that D'Amico Ryans is hired, but I really hope that this is not something that D'Amico Ryans greenlit. I feel like it might be their director of marketing, Doug. I could be wrong. It does smell like it could be Hannah McNair. Like, I feel like it's probably one of those two. The last two that I just listed.
But it's like,
do you think that Hannah McNair, Sean, is a meathead hardo of the Live, Laugh, Love variant? I don't know if I buy that.
Yeah, that I don't quite buy it. I think that Nick Caserio, maybe. Nick Caserio seems like he has some, like inspirational quotes in him, you know?
Oh, boy.
Just, like, absolutely meaningless. And also, it's so long. That, like, this is four different sentences, and this is really something that really just could have been the first one. Failure's not an option, it's a necessity. Maybe every misstep is a lesson learned. But then it goes on after that. That leads to Caserio. Maybe he's on the ones and twos on this one.
Maybe. I gotta say, if you're looking at the way it's reacted, for those who are unfamiliar with Twitter, it has been quote tweeted more often than it has been liked. That is what you call a ratio. And it just continues to grow and grow and grow.
There's
and
a
grow.
Lot of how many lessons y'all going to learn? 21 years of failure.
I gotta,
ownership has still not learned anything.
I got to say, they don't make it easy. They don't. I mean, we're having some fun with it. And we shouldn't like say, oh, this organization is doomed based off of a stupid social media post. But it is what the kids call cringe. Anyway, the actual news of today, the Texans are favored. Check that. The number two overall pick, it is favored to be Will Levis, selected second. He's minus 140. And I want to know if you think that's because the Texans like him or if it's because you think the Texans are about to trade out of that pick. I think it's more likely that the Texans like him than it is that the Texans trade out of that pick, because I think it's going to be very hard to trade out of the number two spot. Because if Bryce Young's off the board, who is trading up to get a quarterback? Could be wrong on this front, but I think it's going to be hard for the Texans to get out of the two spot. Let's continue to go around the NFL. The Jets and Packers have re-engaged in trade talks surrounding Aaron Rodgers. A deal is not imminent, but the two sides are at least talking, with hopes a deal can be done this week. There have been rumors about San Francisco as a destination for Aaron Rodgers as well. I really hope this blows up in the Jets' face. Wouldn't that be so funny? I still think about when I was in Las Vegas with Vanessa as part of their little Vegas trip with the Wheelhouse Boys, and the day where it looked like Zach Wilson's knee had spontaneously combusted. Jake was distraught, and he had to do his Jets content. And I remember he came to dinner. He's like, oh, this is awful. This is terrible. It's like, no, it's not. It's not.
The funny thing is they probably would have made the playoffs if he was just out for the year.
Literally would have made the playoffs, I think. I think you're right, Sean. I think you're right. The irony of all ironies.
It was such a blessing.
But I hope this blows up for the Jets. And yeah, I'm biased 100%. But it would be really funny if they thought that they had this deal done and it was reported as if they had it done. And then he goes to the 49ers. So I'm trying to speak that into existence. Also around the NFL, Russell Wilson recently drove a golf cart into a bunker. Sean Payton made fun of him at a press conference. An honest question. We talk about DUIs, DWIs all the time and how you shouldn't, especially with Uber as a means of transportation. And yet, golf exists. How many sober golf cart drivers are there? Serious question. It's weird that it seems like driving a golf cart, and I'm not suggesting Russell Wilson was drunk when he crashes, but he just might be a bad driver. But it seems like the place where there's more DUIs going on than there are probably sober drivers in that situation, right?
This just gave me an idea. I would love to be a designated golf cart driver, because I don't actually want to golf. Like, that seems like it sucks. But I would love to just sit in the cart, just chill.
Want to sit and chill?
Yeah, just yuck it up. Maybe have one beer,
That sounds like a miserable experience if you're not having multiple beverages.
Well, you also get paid for it. This is a Uber service.
I don't know, man. I would get kind of tired. Out in the sun all day?
Well, you're in the cart.
So? It's Houston.
Well, you're not in the sun.
Yeah, but you're not out of the heat. No, that would be terrible.
No, I
fine, Sean.
I'd save lives, too. I could
save lives.
I could have saved Russell Wilson from being made fun of.
Yeah. Yeah.
And God knows, he needs someone to help him with that.
Yes, he does.
That was a self-inflicted one.
100%.
A lot of them were self-inflicted.
I want to hear his rationale. Like,
well, you know, I was out there just...
going to be a better driver for it.
Yeah. And it just snuck up on me. It really did. I don't know.
I'm going to practice. You know, I only sleep for 2 hours a night, but I'm going to be practicing driving a golf cart 16 hours a day to try to get back and ready to go for the next time I go out on the golf course. Anthony Richardson is now favored to be a top 5 pick in the NFL draft at multiple sporting books, and yet there are no odds that link him to a specific team. And more draft rumors. The Cardinals are supposedly getting a lot of calls about the number 3 overall pick. Some people want to trade up to get an offensive lineman. We'll see what that ultimately leads to. Really not a lot of buzz about what the Texans might do with the pick. The only news today is from the weekend. Will Levis is favored to be the number 2 overall pick. The actual odds are Levis -140, Tyree Wilson +275, Will Anderson +400, C.J. Stroud +450, Bryce Young 20-1 to fall to the 2 spot, Anthony Richardson 25-1. Coming up next, a sport that in some ways has been frustrating over the last couple of years made a dramatic change over the weekend. We'll talk about it next. Paul Gallant Show. Don't go anywhere.
Get know when the whistle goes.
Real fun.
Get know when the whistle goes.
Sports. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
By the way, guys, ESPN 97.5 is your home for the best draft coverage in the city. The Wheelhouse is going to be live in Kansas City. We will be partying locally at Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage in the Southwest Freeway from 6 to 11. John Granato, Jeremy Branham, me, Patrick Creighton are going to do an ESPN 97.5 draft show live there. And you can sign up for our mock draft contest when you arrive at Valencia so you can qualify to win a 75-inch TV courtesy of Audio Visual Consultation. 75 inches. Hell yeah. Our entire NFL draft coverage is presented by 1800 Tequila, the official tequila of the Houston Texans. Also, free stuff time. 713-780-3776. Caller number 3. Discover the beginning of Hook against Pan in an epic adventure to Neverland in Disney's Peter Pan and Wendy. Caller three, you win a $100 gift card courtesy of the movie event streaming this Friday only on Disney Plus. There's more? Okay.
Calling it Hook versus Pan makes it sound like it's...
I thought it was promoting a fight, Sean, for a second.
Davis versus Garcia 2.
Yes, Davis versus Garcia 2. By the way, watched part of it. I have questions because I'm not a boxing expert that I need to ask about a little bit later. But the delayed body knockout where all of a sudden you, Garcia just dropped to one knee. That's got to be an agonizing way to lose. If I were to lose a boxing match, I'd want to just be knocked out. And obviously that would suck afterwards and maybe long term with a little brain damage. But to have your body essentially fail on you while you are conscious, that's got to suck. Anyway, college football made a major change on Friday, right after we got off of the air. The NCAA is expected to approve rule changes proposed that will allow the clock to run after first downs are achieved in all divisions except Division III. The clock will continue to stop after first downs during the final 2 minutes of each half. The approval will come from the Playing Rules Oversight Panel that annually vets rule changes as proposed by the NCAA Football Rules Committee, blah, blah, blah. Stopping the clock after first downs has been one of the rules that has differentiated college football from the NFL since 1968. Wow, that long. Allowing the clock to run is expected to reduce the number of plays by an average of 7 per game. Doesn't seem like it's that many. So, as someone who has criticized baseball for pace of play, I think this is a welcome change for college football because some of those games last 4 hours and 30 minutes or so. But I really wonder how much this will speed things up. The biggest thing in college football is the long halftime shows that you have featuring bands. The problem is that school to school, I would say that the average marching band varies heavily in terms of overall skill. I don't think there are many good bands outside of the traditional powers that are traveling the band everywhere, because a lot of schools don't even have their band travel from school to school anymore. It's a lot. It costs a lot of money. So at halftime, to have the band at home go out and do their marching around and all of that stuff, my question is if people still are into that. Because halftimes last about 20-plus minutes or so. I think it's officially listed at 22? Could be wrong. Where the NFL's are 12. NFL halftime is quick and snappy. College football halftime takes a really long time. So that, I think, is a perhaps better way to slow things down. I think this is definitely going to be good for college football from this perspective. There are so many spread offenses that are running the no huddle. And when you factor in the no huddle and spread, and the fact that after a first down, the clock stops, it does make the clock move very, very slowly. But the other thing is, too, you got a million commercial breaks in college football games. I looked it up. There's 16 commercial breaks. Each of these commercials are 4 minutes long. 4 minutes is a long time. 16 of them is a lot. Couldn't you drive the prices up for advertising by shrinking that number a little bit? Wouldn't it make it more valuable? Or is volume better? I would think that if you were to get rid of some of the commercials, you would actually be able to charge more for the fewer commercials, because it seems like people are always going to pay for college football commercials.
My biggest pet peeve, and it's college football, it's NFL, NBA, it's every sport, is that there's too many commercial breaks where even if there's like a break in the action late in a game, like, after, you know, there's 3 minutes left in a game, like, there should just be no more commercial breaks until the game is. Like,
if there's
a challenge, the biggest pet peeve is in football and sometimes in basketball when there's a challenge in the last couple minutes
A
booth review.
And they'll go away from it.
They go and we watch Tide commercials, and then they come back and like, all right, so here's the call on the field. It's like, what? We saw the play once 3 minutes ago. Like,
right.
And now the teams are back on the field.
I think that if you're going to go away from the field during a replay, you need to have the replay on the entirety of that commercial break at the very least to maintain my easily lost attention span during a moment like that.
And just like in general, like it's a big moment of the game. Like any, like even like timeouts, you know, that an NFL team will take with, to stop the clock with a minute 30 left. It's just a big point of the game. It's third and eight. And right. Now we're leaving the stadium to go watch the same commercials we've been watching for 3.5
exactly.
hours.
Exactly. It's the same
And then
ones.
Now we're coming back. It's like it just takes you out of the, you know, the bigness of the moment.
The amount of TV reviews are ridiculous. And I would say, too, they will go from one play to commercial break to one play to commercial break to one play to commercial break. And when that starts happening, that is bleeping insufferable.
Yeah, just if teams are just going to call timeouts after every bucket late in a game, which fine, sure, whatever. Like, just don't go out of the stadium. Like, just have the play-by-play and color analyst that you're paying millions of dollars talk about the game for 2 minutes. Like, just have them do that. I don't know why they can't do that.
They probably think it's convenient, but there are certain moments where, as you listed, where you're not even sure whether or not the replay was close, and you come back and then you learn something, and then the broadcast never really has a chance to explain what happened.
Because they're coming back like mid-play.
The commercial breaks and the TV reviews are a bigger problem for college football than the play clock. But because the NFL doesn't want to get rid of those commercial breaks, and with college football also, I would imagine starting to embrace the world of gambling, maybe not directly, but indirectly, they're going to want to get calls right more than they're going to want to make the actual watching experience better. This might make things a little bit quicker, but I don't think it's going to improve the pace of the game. The NBA... You know, the big problem they have at the end of the games, as you listed, as you detailed a little bit earlier, Sean, the last 2.5 minutes to 3 minutes of an NBA game are awful at times now because of the timeouts, because of the fouls. It doesn't feel like it matters at all during the regular season, during those moments too, because it's just taking away any minimum amount of stakes in that game, one of 82. Just minimizes them completely. At least with the playoffs, there is, you know, the whole, hey, it's a playoff game. It means a great deal. But I think the NBA, it's worse. I think that baseball moving the pitch clock in, though, is actually different. I think that the pitch clock was a smart play because it's a subtle change. But not everybody's enjoying it. We saw Michael Brantley, who made a rehab appearance yesterday with Sugarland, and he didn't like the pitch clock. This is what he said. I don't want to get into details, but I don't like it. It's an adjustment. I'm a professional, and I'll figure it out. I've been doing something the same way for 14 years, and now we're changing it. I understand it, but I can say I don't like it. Not whining here. I think he's just showing some resistance to it, and I would say the majority of the Players Association has shown some sort of resistance towards it. It was very uncomfortable the first time with the pitch clock, continued Michael Brantley. It was in my head a little bit. It was a big adjustment for me, so I've got to pay attention to it. I didn't get a spring training to go through the motions to figure it out, so this was day one for me. Get used to it, though. It needed to be a part of the game for a really long time. I get that you want to reset mentally and things like that, but the amount of time that some of these players were taking for their little mental health breaks in baseball was getting insufferable. And if you couldn't see that, like, I don't know what you were watching. Were you looking at your phone while they were going through those mental checks? That's the other funny thing about it too. Baseball has forced you to pay a little bit more attention. So the zag by me, a millennial should be to say, hey, this is too hard now. I need baseball to slow down so I can look at my phone and go on my Instagram reels during the break. Come on.
I actually had trouble with that during Fernando Tatis' first game back with San Diego. Like his first at bat, I literally like looked at my phone. I was like, wait, I just missed a pitch because I looked at my phone because I'm still so used to the, you know, the pace of like, there's a pitch. All right, now I have nothing to do for 25 seconds. Like, and now here's another pitch. Like, oh no, they're actually firing it in here.
It's too quick.
Yeah, come on.
He's Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in and text in. Oh, right on cue. Here come all the old people whining about things being too fast these days. I want to stay in the Stone Ages and move at a glacial pace.
It's like
I like watching paint dry.
It's like Brooks walking out of Shawshank with all these cars going past them. The world's too fast.
Yeah, don't kill yourself like Brooks did. Spoiler alert. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Astros swept the Braves over the weekend. And Will Levis is favored to go second overall in the NFL draft. You got thoughts on that? Share them. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.